I live in Danbury, right?
I'm not talking about you.
Okay. Okay, we're back on the record. Back on the record on, all right, we're back on the record on the matter of James Maggio versus First Selectman, Town of Weston. They didn't call the docket number. It's docket number FIC 2023-0226. Right. So I think it's just Attorney Monte that's here.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. Did Mr. Maggio contact you?
He did not. He did file a one-page post-hearing brief, maybe a week ago. But
you're up.
I'm up. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for hearing me out here. So my name is Nicholas Pomonte. I'm a partner at Birch & Moses. We represent a pretty significant amount of municipalities around the state. And I've been doing this for a little while now, and a large part of it has been FOIA work. So I feel like I have a kind of fair sense of the act and its intentions and how this commission acts. So in terms of this proposed final decision, the town isn't going to take any position for or against adoption. But I, as a practicing municipal attorney, have some concerns about what the findings in this decision mean in the real world that I practice in. And I just ask the commission to think about this with me for a few minutes. I know we're getting towards the end of the day and you still got some other stuff on the agenda. The next case that I'm going to talk about is factually largely similar. So I'm just going to not say it all over for the next case and save us a little time there. So this case, the claim by the complainant is that the town of Weston held an improper executive session in May of last year. What was noticed on the agenda was an executive session by the Weston Board of Selectmen to discuss pending litigation for a dog park case, which is not at issue. What's at issue here is Board of Ethics. So for our purposes here, the notice said executive session, and our reason was for pending litigation involving the Board of Ethics. There was no pending lawsuit here, but the town attorney's office, me, my partner Ira Bloom, certainly thought there was a claim, and I'll talk about what that claim was, but we thought there was a sufficient claim here under the act in writing, setting forth a demand for a legal relief or asserting a legal right. That's the act's definition of pending claim that gives you, opens the door to have an executive session for that purpose. So the commission, obviously, you're the final arbiter of that question. Is this a valid pending claim or not? So again, I'm going to leave it to you to adopt, to reject, I suppose do nothing with this if it's your choosing. But let me explain what happened here. So Weston's a pretty small town, about 10,000 people. There's no commercial development. Everybody basically knows everybody, which is kind of nice small town vibes, but also blows up into some community divisiveness, shall we say, and that was very much the case during the relevant time period here. So the time period that we need to think about is late 2022 to about June 2023. And at the time, there was a different board of selectmen than there is currently. The first select person was reelected, but there were two other select persons who have since not been reelected after single terms. This time period was a particularly contentious one in town, and from the government's perspective, from the town attorney's office's perspective, because not only were there some community issues kicking around, but those were also being reflected within the Board of Selectmen itself. So the two of the selectmen were sort of butting heads with the first select person. So there was a lot of discord here. With that backdrop, in late 2022, the town's Board of Ethics, okay, investigated a complaint against one of those two selectmen and ultimately issues a decision that finds that that select person violated the Code of Ethics. Okay? But the Board of Ethics screwed up because they did not follow the proper process for rendering that decision. And they basically released a decision that said this former select person violated the Code of Ethics without involving her, without maintaining confidentiality. It was a big screw up. And our office called them out on it and said, no, I mean, we're going to have to retrain you guys or something. But the point is, the Board of Selectmen, because of that screw up by the Board of Ethics, the Board of Selectmen was considering removing those members of the Board of Ethics or replacing them or doing something, because that's what the town charter allowed. It allows the Board of Selectmen to boot out appointed positions who are screwing up, basically. And so that's what the Board of Selectmen now was contemplating during this time period. The Board of Ethics rendered a decision in late 2022, and then the Board of Selectmen started thinking, okay, are we going to take these people out? They set up, the Board of Selectmen then sets up a public hearing to occur in May. Because the charter says before you can remove any appointed members of the Board of Ethics, you have to have this public hearing. So a public hearing was set. After the public hearing was set, but before it actually occurred, one of the members of the Board of Ethics emailed the Board of Selectmen. And this is going to be the claim, we think, gave us grounds to have this executive session. But this email went to the Board of Selectmen and to the town attorneys. The email was from Ruth Israeli, who herself is an admitted attorney, and within the email said that she's reaching out on behalf of the full Board of Ethics, and she made several requests which we thought were fit into the statutory definition, asserting a legal claim, seeking a legal right. She's asking for a statement of the alleged violations that the Board of Selectmen, the violations the board was alleging against them that would have formed the basis of removal. So she's saying, okay, what are the charges against me, number one? Number two, I want a 90-day continuance so I could go, even though I'm an attorney, I want to go get an attorney and compile our own evidence. And number three, I would like those two Board of Selectmen members to be recused because they've said nasty stuff to me on the sidelines before. And then, at the very end of it all, and I probably should have highlighted this during the hearing a bit more, but at the very end of this email, Attorney Israeli uses the magic words, "I look forward to your prompt response so that we can all prevent irreparable harm from occurring for which there is no remedy other than a continuance." Lawyer speak, right? I'm a lawyer. There's a couple lawyers on the board. What does that ring any bells? That's injunction language. Okay? So this email comes to the Board of Selectmen. It also goes to the town attorney's office. The Board of Selectmen reach out to us and say, hey, we need to talk about this. So we're like, all right, well, let's have an executive session. This seems like a claim to us. Not only that, Attorney Israeli calls Attorney Bloom, my boss, and who shares an office right next to me, and we talked about it as soon as he got off the phone. She called right after sending this email on April 24th and told Attorney Bloom, yeah, look, you saw my email. What are we doing here? You know, is the board going to like work with me at all? Because I'm going to file an injunction in court next week. Or I'm going to have to. Like, what's going on? She relates that to Attorney Bloom. He relates that to me. I testify to that fact. Attorney Bloom has an affidavit in evidence as to that fact. So what we have here, what is the claim that we think?
Excuse me, just a second. All that's very nice, but do you disagree with paragraph 13 where the hearing officer says that at the contested case hearing, the respondents conceded?
I do.
You disagree with that?
I do disagree.
Okay, all right, then go ahead. Okay.
Because, I mean, just to address that quickly, Commissioner Einhorn,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of semantics in how Attorney Harmon wrote that paragraph. Let me just make sure I have the right one. So, I mean, I read this and I shook my head a little bit because there was no concession. If we look through the transcript, you're not going to find me saying, oh, no, we did not receive a written notice setting forth a demand for legal relief or asserting a legal right. You're not going to find that. I didn't say that. I mean, the representation was the email combined with updated, modified, whatever you want to call it, with this follow-up phone call to Attorney Bloom, which pushed it over the edge and said, look, these people, they're going to sue us. They're going to file an injunction in court if we don't do something here. So from our perspective as municipal attorneys, we think this fits into pending claims or litigation.
Of course, it wasn't really pending because nothing had been filed.
Well, you don't need a pending court case.
It was more of a threat, though, right?
And that's what a pending claim is. That's why the Act allows pending claims.
All right. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, but think about this as well, Commissioner Einhorn and the rest of the commissioners. What this proposed final decision is, I mean, ultimately the decision says it was okay to have an executive session, okay? But not for pending claims or litigation. What also happened here was when we got that email from Attorney Israeli, I wrote up an attorney-client memo, like what the email's about, what we think the implications are. That memo was in evidence as well. So ultimately, we discussed that memo during this May 3rd executive session as well. And so that's the justification that comes out at the end. Okay, you can have an executive session to discuss an attorney-client memo. And that's all you got to put on the notice. That doesn't say very much, does it? What we put on the notice was far more informative to the public. We said, okay, executive session to discuss pending litigation involving the Board of Ethics. This, at this point, was a community spectacle. It was all over the news. Everyone knew what this was, and the complainant wouldn't have even filed this, quite frankly, if we hadn't noticed it that way. So, what, I mean, from a practical standpoint, I just have some trouble with this because I get taking a hyper-technical reading of the Act and what it says in writing and what's a legal claim and what's not. I think it's a little fuzzy here. And so what I'm saying to this board is, I mean, again, I'll leave it to the board to decide how it wants to act here. But in the real world, when someone calls us and says they're going to sue us, what are we supposed to do then? To discuss it with our clients, our municipal clients, who we need to have an executive session with to discuss privately. Are we supposed to say to that person then, oh, wait a minute, can you please put that in writing? Can you send me a letter saying you're going to sue us or, you know, get the ball rolling? Like, is that what I'm supposed to be doing as a town attorney, inviting someone to, yeah, you know, make it even more formal that you're going to be suing us or whatever you're claiming? Like, that is against my obligations as an officer of the court representing my municipal clients. I'm just not going to do it. And quite frankly, if I were faced with this admittedly unique and nuanced situation again, I'm going to advise my town clients the exact same way. Have an executive session as a pending claim or litigation. I'll do it again. And I don't, I think there is some traction there under the law and the relevant cases. And I, for one, would not be uncomfortable arguing that in front of a court. But that is not our intention here, regardless of how this commission decides. But, you know, we want to ensure the commission had a full picture of what we're dealing with from the municipal standpoint. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Anything for me?
Yes.
Okay. Attorney Harmon, I was the hearing officer in this case. So first of all, I just want to say, I didn't write the FOI Act. I'm just interpreting it to the facts that are before me. So what we have here is a board of selectmen saying that they're going to have a pending litigation. But the board of selectmen, with regard to paragraphs 10 and 11, they are the adjudicator, right? They're the ones that are going to conduct a hearing to determine whether the members of the Board of Ethics should be terminated. So what the exemption says is that if you have a pending claim or pending litigation, again, didn't write the statute, but if you have strategy and negotiations with respect to pending claims or pending litigation to which the public agency is a party. So I have the Board of Selectmen as the adjudicator unless and until it is served. So the only claim in this case was that it was pending litigation. And that's what we talked about extensively. And when we looked at what was required to have a pending litigation, we need a written notice to the agency setting forth a demand for legal relief. We need service of a complaint or see the agency's consideration. So when we examined that carefully, and we did during the hearing, what Attorney Bamonte said to me was, and I think I can refer back to paragraph 13, he said, well, okay, we didn't have a pending litigation, but we could have had perhaps a pending claim. So I didn't go through the analysis for pending claim because, again, under the definition, I need a written notice to the agency. So I felt, this is how I felt like I couldn't find that there was a legitimate pending litigation under the language of the statute with the board as the adjudicator until they were served with something. And I'm not suggesting that counsel for the town should invite a lawsuit. What I think is that when counsel wrote the legal memorandum to advise their client on how to react to the situation, the events that are described in paragraphs 10 and 11, I think that if they had slowed down just a tad, they would have realized that instead of having two pending litigation action items on the agenda, they could have left it with just the dog park and then had a memorandum to discuss legal advice. Because while they're considering holding a hearing to remove the members of the Board of Ethics, they are not a party to the litigation. I can't do anything about that. That's what the statutory provision in 1-210B4 requires. I do think that they can always go into an executive session to receive, and it's technical and it's pesky, but if your lawyer writes up legal advice, there you go. You go in to discuss and receive that legal advice, which I think they could have done it that way. I'm not saying that they didn't have a reason to go into executive session. All I'm saying is that at the moment on May 3rd, 2023, when they went into the executive session, they didn't have a pending litigation as that term is defined in 1-209. And counsel's comment to me, I think part of this is what is required to have a pending litigation in paragraph 13, but with regard to at the contested case hearing, the respondents conceded it was improper for the respondent board to convene an executive session at the May 3rd, 2023 meeting for the purpose of discussing pending litigation concerning the Board of Ethics. We put a period in that. I stand by that because the only alternative that counsel offered at that point in the hearing was perhaps we could have done it under a pending claim, but I didn't want to pull that in and say it's not a pending claim because there was no written, notice to an agency that they were going to go to court. I just didn't think that they had enough as the adjudicator. They wouldn't be a party to the litigation. So all I found was that the notice was insufficient under the requirements of 1-225D, only because it seemed to me that they moved very fast between the emails received on April 24th, the telephone call on April 24th, 2023, same day, and then the meeting was scheduled on May 3rd, 2023. I just think that it was just an oversight. They had a good reason to go into an executive session. They had a legal memorandum. It hadn't been disclosed to the public. It was still confidential at that time. And I just think that the way they described it on the agenda was not permissible, but I don't recommend, you know, there's no order recommended with regard to what happened.
Attorney Harmon, I may be confused, but did you, I kept looking at the phrase in the statute, or the agency's consideration of action to enforce or implement legal relief or legal remedy.
I had no evidence that the agency was considering taking an action.
Weren't they considering removing people from the ethics board? Wasn't that the legal action they were considering?
Right, but they have to be a party to... They were the adjudicator. That's the problem I had here. The Board of Selectmen has the authority to remove members of the Board of Ethics. They are basically the judge. So if they want to go in and talk about what process to give them, and I think a lot of this stems from the fact that they wanted to go in and talk to their client about, go ahead, give them a continuance on the hearing that you're going to preside over. Go ahead and let them have the 90 days. This is what was basically in the legal memorandum. So they're the adjudicator trying to understand. I don't think they had to even give them a hearing. And I think if I were to boil all this down about why this complaint is here, is that the complainant was unhappy that the Board of Selectmen was going to give the members of the Board of Ethics more process than it had to give them as the adjudicator. So
in that statute, agency is not, they weren't the agency considering an action.
Their affirmative action to file something, I don't think that they were thinking of that action. They were thinking.
I may be misconstruing the statute completely, but I kept thinking about their consideration of removing.
So
number one, if they're the agency and they're the adjudicator, and they're considering action to remove people from an ethics board,
right,
or implement relief or legal right. And I think that would constitute pending litigation, but I may be misconstruing.
Okay, so when we take those definitions back to the exemption in 1-210B4,
right.
So it says basically nothing in the Freedom of Information Act shall be construed to require the disclosure of records pertaining to strategy and negotiation with respect to pending claims or pending litigation to which the public agency is a party until such litigation or claim has been finally adjudicated or otherwise settled. A party, A versus B, not adjudicator. That paradigm for what I had didn't fit with what the statutory language requires. And again, I will emphasize this because I do feel that the complainant's main concern was that the Board of Selectmen, as the adjudicator, was going to give the members of the Board of Ethics more process than it had to, which was a little frustrating for me. But technically, I don't think we had a pending litigation, and that's why I recommended the way I did to the commission.
Thank you. Any other commissioners have any questions? Yes.
Commissioner Stewart. So I guess just thinking about that towards to the hearing officer. So, I mean, you know, I work for a small town that has a select board that's the end all of for everything. So including litigation, you know, the town attorney works for the select board, even if it's against any other organization, but they technically are an adjudicator as well. So if their town attorney has been put on notice that there is, whether there's a claim or a threat of a claim, you would think that, you know, it is incumbent upon them to let the select board know that this communication occurred.
Sure.
So
counsel that the select board know.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that the only hair we're splitting is the fact that they put it down as pending litigation instead of legal.
It is a hair that we're splitting because of the way the law is written. And I don't like to be a hair splitter, Commissioner Stringer.
But that's what I'm saying, because it seemed like they were just, pending litigation is usually, I always thought of it much more broadly than, a specific. So that they should have said pending claim or some other terminology. And I think that's what counsel is saying, is that they could have, changed it, but they just went with the way they've always stated, pending litigation.
I think if I had heard that the Board of Selectmen was contemplating filing an affirmative action, I would have said, oh, okay, now I'm under 1209, I think off the top of my head, C. But I didn't hear that. What I heard was that counsel was going into the executive session to counsel their client with a legal memorandum that contained legal advice. And the only hair that I was required to split was whether the erroneous, I would say, maybe in haste, agenda description was enough to find a violation. Did I find a violation only with regard to how they described why they went in? They had a proper purpose. They just, I think in their, I don't know why, but they should have maybe just added a new agenda item to give legal advice to the Board of Selectmen with regard to what was going on with the Board of Ethics. Then we probably wouldn't have gotten the complaint, if that's what they had said. So is it a hair that I was slicing? Yes. But I think I sliced it in the way that the law requires me to, with all due respect to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May I, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think Attorney Amanti said, what am I supposed to do if this scenario happens again? And I would tell him, you do essentially what you did. He created a memorandum that contained advice for his client, but then you also counsel that we've got to make sure the agenda tracks what we've got here. That's the only place that they had a problem in so far as the agenda in this case. So that's, I think, what you do next time. And I would hope that if the commission adopts this decision, you wouldn't counsel your client to do it the same way you did it here. But that's going to be for you to decide.
Anything further? Anything further? Then entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stringer, I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call on those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all in favor. Yes. Passes unanimously. Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Harden. Next, we go to docket number FIC 2023-0251, James Maggio versus First Selectwoman and Board of Selectmen, Town of Weston, et al.
Again, Nicholas Bomanti on behalf of the respondents.
You ready to begin?
Yes, thank you all. So I'd just like to incorporate my presentation so I don't have to reiterate it all for purposes of this docket number. But we're dealing with the same factual scenario here, commissioners, except this was an executive session that took place a few weeks later because the Board of Selectmen was still contemplating what it was going to do. Because after that first executive session that we just talked about, the Board of Selectmen did, in fact, postpone the public hearing that had been scheduled for potential removal of the Board of Ethics members. So on May 17th, the Board of Selectmen, once again, at the request of two of the former select persons, held an executive session for, again, and admittedly, this notice could have been a little bit more thorough. It said executive session regarding Board of Ethics. So that is not how I would have advised my client to write it, but I probably would have advised them to say what we said in the last one, executive session I would say for pending claims or litigation. But that was the same reasoning here. It was a continuation. No, we did not have a privileged memo this time because our memo had been disclosed to the public. So that rationale doesn't work for us. So Attorney Hyde went through the analysis that I presented, which was, okay, well, this is a pending claim or it's pending litigation. And for some of the reasons that Attorney Harmon mentioned and for the reasons that I suspect Attorney Hyde will relate to this commission, ultimately in this decision, there is a finding of a violation because there was no grounds for an executive session under this proposed final decision. Without going through all of this all over, I would just submit that I basically have the same position. I think even though we did not have something in writing in this case, we believe that the definitions as set forth under the relevant superior court decisions, well, whatever court decisions, Supreme for a couple of them, that address what's a legal right, what's a legal claim, we think this still fits that category. And again, I would not be opposed to taking that in front of a court. But that being said, that is not what we're going to do here. So again, I'll leave it to the commission to decide in its experienced wisdom how it would like to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Any commissioners have any questions?
No.
Anything further? I don't know if we need to hear from the council. Would you like to say something?
Attorney Hyde for the record?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Strader, I'll move it out for the
second.
Motion has been made and second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all even yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Attorney Hyde. All right. Consideration and recommendation.
Three and four both involve petitions for relief from vexatious requesters under 1206B5. And the first one is my recommendation is not to hold a hearing. On this one. This one is kind of based more, at least for the moment, on procedural grounds because this petitioner filed another petition a little while later, a few months later, which I believe this matter is incorporated into that later filed matter. So I don't believe this warrants a hearing for that reason. That'll be petition for relief number 14. So when we get to that, I'll review all of the allegations, including the ones that were filed in the supplementary one. So this one, I'd ask you to accept my recommendation to deny relief on the petition for vexatious requester.
Oh, this is Commissioner Hankins. I've read the whole thing, but I'm not going to say anything other than since the matter has been subsumed by a later one, then I would agree with the executive director and therefore vote not to to vote to recommend to deny the petition for relief from vexatious requester on that basis.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, all and even yes. Passes unanimously.
Okay, so the second one, my recommendation to you comes more of a substantive level. As you know, the commission has only issued two rulings under this provision of the statute, and they set the bar pretty high for what constitutes a vexatious requester, and they both enunciate a lot of standards. One is on appeal and is going to be heard soon. But in comparing the standards that we set forth or the commission set forth and those decisions to what is in this particular petition, the Trumbull against Tom Curran petition, I don't think it anywhere approaches the standards that we set forth there. And just to give you a little flavor, and you have reviewed everything as well, but the petitioners, they have an Exhibit A where they reference, I believe, 30 requests filed by Mr. Curran. However, it's over a 9-year period. It started, the first one that they cite was from back in 2015. So they're, you know, kind of piling on many, many years worth of requests. You know, if you divided that, that would be what, a little over three requests a year potentially. And also the petitioners mix in requests that Mr. Curran made to other towns to try to demonstrate his vexatious history, and didn't think that was appropriate or fair. And the requests appear to be targeted, you know, are pretty focused and focused on the police department. And I just didn't think that, again, as I said, they met any of the standards that were enunciated in our prior decision. So for those reasons, and probably a few others, I'm recommending that you deny this petition and hold a hearing. Do not hold a hearing on this matter.
Mr. Hankins, I would, given the time, I would incorporate Attorney Murphy's comments into mine, but also the Curran paid at least $75 in charges, so he's not trying to skip out on anything. The second thing is the number of requests are not excessive when compared to PRVR's number 1 and 4, although, you know, it might seem to be a lot spread over a 9-year period, but excessive. Also, the requests are easily identifiable. They're not, like, spread out and diffuse. And, you know, and even if the town claims that, that the town could have engaged Curran to narrow his requests. So on that basis, I believe, I'm going to move that we approve the executive director's recommendation to deny petition for relief from vexatious requester.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. All those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously.
Very quick report on
Sandy
Hill. That's one oral argument coming up. Attorney Lee has an oral argument on April 18th in a PRVR matter, Olson versus City of Stamford. And we will report back to you after the argument. That's all I have.
Petition
I just referenced is going to be argued next week. Okay, nothing under executive director's reports. Under staff reports, I want to introduce our newest staff member, Stephanie Tesmer, is over there near Jen. She's learning the ropes. Started last Friday with us.
She's still here.
Very happy. She's here. She got a little flavor of what we're all about today. Okay. Next, under legislative report, Paula is away, and I asked Russell to just give you a brief report on what we're up to, and we're up to a lot.
Sure. So, we're diving in a little bit, I think, kind of like the calm before the storm. So, you know, the bills have moved out of committee. You know, we're getting towards when some of these things might come up in session. So we have been having a lot of meetings with lawmakers, trying to really be proactive, trying to identify people who would support our position. You know, mostly it's defending against bills that we think are eroding, you know, the public's right to records. You know, we also have the one good bill, our recommendations. You know, we're hopeful that that will move forward. But mostly it's been meeting with lawmakers and trying to explain, you know, in particular, I think the overarching concern is that when these issues crop up, you know, maybe somebody realizes that there's a certain program or records that, you know, somebody calls a lawmaker and they're concerned, the rush is to go and implement a new exemption. And, you know, with a lot of these bills, we believe a lot of this is covered under the existing exemptions or, you know, some of these issues, you know, the research bill we've talked about up here several times before, we've only had two cases at the commission where that's ever come up. And, you know, I think part of our discussions with lawmakers has been, you know, the commission exists to try to settle these issues and we have existing exemptions and that we should try to work within the process and the framework that we have. And then certainly, you know, if people are unhappy with decisions, they can always appeal and then the legislature can look at things that happen, you know, through our commission. But a lot of these are circumstances and exemptions that haven't come before us. You know, some of the discussion, for example, has been, you know, we've offered that, you know, you guys were just talking about the petition for relief from vexatious requester. You know, that is an option that's available, you know, in some of these instances when we hear people talking about harassment in terms of FOI requests. So I think the message we've been trying to get out there is that, you know, there are some tools and some ways to address this before, you know, we move to new exemptions and new legislation. Because as we know, you know, if a new exemption gets put in place, it's very unlikely that that's going to change. So I think we're trying to inform and instruct about, you know, what the law currently says, the exemptions and the tools that are available, you know, because there are some concerns that I think we share, you know, about some of this information. But I think our argument is always that it can be covered by some of these existing exemptions. So continuing to have a lot of meetings. The other one that I haven't been as involved in, but there's an artificial intelligence bill. And I know, I think we got some good news, right, on some revisions that have been made to that proposal based in part on our feedback, you know, trying to get greater accountability. You know, if government is going to be regulating artificial intelligence and these companies are sharing information with the government about what those processes are and how they work, you know, transparency, I think, is really important from that. So I know, you know, Colleen and Nick were on the task force, and I know we've been working closely with CCFOI. They had a meeting with the senator that's been, you know, championing that proposal. So I think we're having a dialogue on that and a number of other bills. But, you know, right now we're sort of in that kind of wait and see mode to see what happens once these things get to the Senate and the House and, you know, taken up by the full legislature. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
We have Russell and Paula and myself reporting on this, but again, we have a really great team.
Yes, thank you to everyone doing the bill reading. I mean, that's one of the things that kind of we don't talk about enough is that we have people, every bill that comes out of the legislature, we are looking for, you know, exemptions. And one, I guess one bit of good news on the appropriations, you know, we talked about how there was a thing addressing HIPAA that was put into a governor's budget bill about mental health. We met with the Appropriations Committee co-chair. We got that removed. You know, that was one of those provisions that was Section 56 in a 200-page bill. So we have a great team that are always on the lookout for those types of things. So,
10-second question for either of you. The withdrawal of the appropriations for this year, some of which were earmarked to be reversed, has been removed now. Is that correct?
No, there's still a, are you talking about the deficiency appropriation bill? That still has life. That was voted out of committee with a deficiency in it for the commission and a bunch of other agencies. But, you know, my understanding is that's still a work in progress. They're going to review the numbers in April. But they
it's in the works to be
removed.
Or not removed. Funds left in, funds left in place. That's,
right.
But that's not official. Okay.
Right. Not official.
Effects.
Right.
Also, right on the table.
Right. But we did get the other, in the other bill, there was a totally inappropriate provision that would have reversed or impacted our Supreme Court decision that we got. So that was removed. So we're happy about that. So, yeah. So thanks, everyone. We got to give another month or so to go to get through. That's it. That's all I have.
I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor of adjourning. Mr. Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Farish.
Yes.
Mr. Kuzeski.
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby.
Yes.
Mr. Gansler.
Yes.
Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your hard work today.
Before you all leave, we have one last little